good to see you this morning. How many of you have ever been fishing?
Oh, nice.
How many of you like fishing? We watched this show called Alone. And on this show, these people are dropped in the middle of nowhere. Presently, the season we're watching is northern Canada, Alaska. And they're dropped in the middle of nowhere, usually by a body of water. And they have to survive. They're given one backpack with 10 items and a bunch of cameras. But one of their main sources of survival is fish. And they have to make up ways to do it. They're given a little bit of line, and they're given rope and some hooks. But what these people do to catch fish is amazing. They'll take paracord and strip the outer, and there's 7 cords inside of them, like gill nets. They'll throw gill nets out, hoping that fish will kind of be caught in the net. Some of them have literally built with sticks, fishing poles, built reels out of pieces of wood with handles that spin and catch up the line. Some of them build little baskets. I don't know if you've ever seen these as baskets that go from thick to thin, and they kind of catch the fish, and the fish doesn't know how to get out. There's all kinds of ways to fish. People have been fishing for days, years, decades, forever. Jesus told his disciples to follow him, and he would make them fishers of men. I love fishing. One of the best ways of fishing, I'm going to walk away from the mic for a sec, is fly fishing. So, I don't know how many of you have ever been fly fishing. Fly fishing is different than regular fishing. So in fly fishing, instead of having a heavy lure that you throw around, you have heavy line that you throw around. The line is weighted. The fly is very thin. It goes back and forth. I'll try not to whip anybody with a hook and take out your eye. But the idea with fly fishing is that you drop a fly precisely where you want it. The line is weighted. Hopefully you can find a spot where a fish is. You put a fly on the end of your line, and you drop it exactly where you want, ideally catching a fish. There's different flies. There's different places to fish. But the one cool thing about this is it's very strategic. It takes a lot of patience. It's very frustrating. There's a lot more fishing than there is catching. But what we do, what I've done, I've been in places where we've caught fish, and you just stand in a river with your fly rod and you throw it out, hoping that a fish bites it. Hoping that a fish sees the lure, sees the fly, is enticed, and then takes a bite on it. But taking the bite on it is not enough. You have to hook it. It's as graphic as that is. You have to hook it in the mouth and hang on to it. And this is the whole attempt of fishing, that you are able, check this out, to entice a fish to bite something that's not real so that you can take it home and eat it. Satan is not unlike this. Satan fishes for you. Satan fishes for me. A lot of you were given little flies when you walked in. Satan tempts us with all kinds of things. There are different fish that like different kinds of flies. If you have the flies, don't worry. The hooks have been chopped off. They're not going to stab you unless you really want it to happen. But Satan, what he does is he tempts us. He throws the line out, hoping that we will just see it, think it's enticing enough, and take a bite. And when we take a bite, he usually yanks on it pretty hard and gives us a hook. And then what we're left to do is fight our way out of it. Figure out what we now do because of this sin that we've committed. Jesus went through this. Jesus went through temptation. Jesus went through temptation from the enemy. The Bible tells us that God led Jesus to be tempted. We're going to read about that in a minute. But I want us to think for a second. What are you tempted with? What are your temptations? Because I might be the only one who gets tempted. I might be the only one who sins, but most of us have temptations. And oftentimes, they're recurring, as if the devil uses the same fly for you every day. And for whatever reason, you can't get it through your thick skull that it's a fly and not a fly. Saying. And so you continue to bite. We've been going through this prayer of Jesus called the Lord's Prayer. You can follow along with me or say it if you want. But Jesus tells his disciples to pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's where we're sitting today, this fifth part. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So if you wouldn't mind pulling out your Bibles, if you have them, open to Matthew chapter 6. It is the first book of the New Testament. We're going to stand and read that if you don't mind standing. While you're standing, I will give you some background. Don, is there a blue glasses case right below you on that desk? Chapter 6 is where we have the prayer. We're going to be in chapter 4 in the temptation. Thank you, sir. The beginning of Matthew chapter 4. Jesus has just begun his ministry. He has just been baptized by John the Baptist, and now we find that God is taking him into the wilderness. Follow along with me. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread, loaves of bread. But he answered, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him again it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. This morning, as you speak to us, may we allow you to be our authority. May we allow your word to be our authority and allow you to take us where you want us. Pray that we leave our baggage out, we allow you in, and we walk out closer to you than we walked. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Interesting story, thinking about Jesus being tempted by the devil. Actually, even being driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit so that he could be tempted by the devil, but it did happen. That might be why Jesus gives us in this prayer that we've been studying the direction for us, you and I, to pray to God that God would not lead us into temptation, but would deliver us from evil. But the weird thing is, we know if we've been around Scripture that God does not tempt us. Yet Jesus says, do not lead us into temptation. Why is Jesus saying this? Sometimes it's wording, right? He just most likely recently got out of this wilderness, was tempted. God led him there. But why would Jesus tell us to pray that God would not lead us into temptation? Sometimes the words seem problematic to us. 2,000 years ago, in a culture completely unlike ours, and language and words that aren't even really used anymore, and then we dissect them, we translate them, try to figure out what they mean. In our Western culture, we don't get it always. And sometimes there are multiple definitions, multiple usage for the words. So this might seem like an odd thing for Jesus to pray, but I don't think it's odd at all. I sat there for a long time, I even struggled with this. You could ask my wife, I was over and over, why? Why is Jesus telling me to ask God not to lead me into temptation? It's easy to get caught up in the original wording, or we get so caught up in what we think is going on that we miss the forest for the trees. You ever been in the redwoods? They're outrageously impressive. Yet if you stand close enough to a redwood and investigate the bark, you won't even have a clue really what you're standing in the midst of. You can be so interested in the bark that you forget there's a tree. Forget there's a tree, forget there's a forest, and kind of lose the big picture. I think that's what it's all about. So to make sense of this, so what we do, we've talked about this so many times, when we're stuck in Scripture, we're like, what's going on? We use in Scripture to interpret Scripture. Let the Bible interpret the Bible, not Google. Not any other search engine. Let the Bible interpret the Bible, not even just man. Man interprets the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit. When we go off on our own, we're AWOL and we're in trouble. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. So as we look at this context, Jesus is saying this, but the word is parasmos. It means, actually, in the biblical definitions, an experiment, a trial, proving the trial of a man's fidelity, integrity, virtue, constancy, also an enticement to sin. So it's like a test, and it's like a trial. But the true definition depends on the circumstance, depends on the gift, who the giver is, what the gift is, what is brought to your attention. So this word meaning trial, test, temptation, one scholar actually noted that up until this point, it wasn't even used as enticement to sin. But we, because it is used sometimes, now it's almost like that is always how it is. Testing to see what we're made of. Testing us to see that we're sinful. Testing us to see that sin is right there waiting for us all the time. Those of us that are over 70 years old, you've probably been tempted at least twice. Those of us that are in our 40s and 50s, maybe five times a minute. The youth that are in the service today, if you have your phone, it is a sin machine. I say that, I love you, I get it, I have one. I can't even open my phone literally without temptation coming. And your temptation may look different than mine. Temptation for a one-year-old, you've seen it. You don't have to teach them. How many times have you seen a baby or a little one lie to their parents? You got mommy's glasses? Uh-uh. No one said, hey, lie to your mom. It's in there. How about a young one just whop their brother or sister because they didn't like what was going on? They don't have to be taught. They just want a punch. I am much like that. It just comes, especially if it has to do with computers. I just want to punch it. We laugh and we're no different. A guy cuts you off in the freeway. If we had internal dialogue, no one would come to this church. Things West Cypress Church thinks when someone cuts them off on the freeway. It's human nature. It's all over the place. But check this out. We're in situations all the time. The situation necessarily isn't temptation, yet temptation enters in. Right? Being cut off on the freeway is just being cut off on the freeway. And then something inside of you goes, why don't you tell them they're number one? In a different, unorthodox sort of way. Right? The temptation just kind of comes in. So why is Jesus saying this? What is he saying? Well, to interpret Scripture with Scripture, James 1:13 says this, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. The Bible tells us straightforward, God tempts no one. So when you're being tempted, don't ever say, God is tempting. God may be testing you. God may be allowing you to be in a trial, but God is not tempting you. We know who temptations come from, right? Your neighbor. The enemy. Satan. He uses all kinds of people. But what might Jesus be getting at? I think he's really saying, Father, help us in times of trial and of testing so that we may not take part in the temptation that comes with it. Because when the word it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That but is a connector. So it shows that there's evil involved. God is not evil. He doesn't tell us to do evil. In fact, he tells us not to do evil. He teaches us how not to do evil. He gives us a book that shows us how not to do evil. He puts people in our lives to keep us out of it. And so he's saying, I believe, God, help me not to do the bad stuff that I'm tempted to do. In fact, Alistair Begg, one of my favorite preachers to listen to, this is quote, so when you get up tomorrow morning, know this, that wherever else you're going into battle. And you need to have on your lips, as I do, this phrase, Lord, lead me not into temptation. In other words, protect me, Lord. I know how powerful sin is, and I know how weak I am. I'm asking you, Lord, in this phrase, to help me escape from the trap. I'd rather avoid temptation than have to defeat temptation. Check that out.
I'd rather avoid temptation than have to defeat temptation. It's brilliant. In a sense, it's similar tenor to the prayer that Jesus has in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prays to his Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Many of us are not strong enough to beat temptation. In fact, none of us are. We are only with God's power. We are helpless. Literally, if we don't have God, we are like a little tiny ship on an ocean that the wind just goes, and it goes just wherever it wants. With God's help, we struggle because our internal bent is to sin. Started way back with Adam and Eve. And because Adam sinned, we all sin. Don't blame it on me. I didn't make up the rules. And if you think for 1 minute that you're not tempted, you're probably either deceived, so you don't understand what temptation is, or you're just too proud and think you're bigger than it. Both cases lead us into a spot where we're vulnerable. You don't have to live long to notice that temptation comes to us all. You don't have to be a genius to know that temptation comes in all shapes and sizes. And you don't have to go to every place in the world to know that temptation will talk and be enticing to every human on the planet from day one till Jesus comes again. All shapes, all sizes, all flavors. The youth of our generation, I am glad that I'm not a kid. I love our youth. They have it hard. They're tempted everywhere all day long. And the temptations, I used to think my parents were weird. Like, oh, wasn't that hard when I was a kid? It's crazy. I love the kids, but man, they're up against it. And so they need us to help them. They need to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. That's the point I want us to see. The first thing on your outline, the point is, pray that God would not lead you into temptation. And why do I say that? Because we just read that God told us to pray, lead us not into temptation. Are we willing to admit that we will be tempted? Are we willing to say that we understand that temptation is from the devil? James 1, 13 to 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. We read that. But check this out. This is like the little life of temptation and sin. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, brings forth death. That word, pirazzo, is used 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in there in different forms. It's all that temptation, trial, test. And then the desire is the translation for lust. The temptation comes and it rattles the door of your lust. We always think of lust as sexual. There's lust for all kinds of things. But if I'm fishing, I'm going to try to get a fish to bite the fly that I have put on it. I'm trying to knock on the door of its temptation. I'm trying to knock on the door of its hunger, actually. At the right time, at the right place, I will say, here, little fishy. I got your breakfast and it's real. I don't say that because it would be really weird if I was fishing and that happened. But that's what I'm basically saying when I throw this fish out, hoping that the fish will eat it. It's no different throughout history. Adam and Eve were tempted. Remember what God said? This Brandon Eves, you can eat any tree in the garden except for 90 of them, right? No, you can eat from every tree of the garden except for one. Except for one. So God put them in this experience, this situation. And then the devil came into that test and tempted them. The situation is just what God gave them. The devil came in and said, are you sure that's what God said? Are you sure that's what God meant? They failed the test. And now you and I end up failing the test. Abraham was tested. Abraham was an old man, and God told him he was going to have a kid. 75 years old, I got to figure out how am I going to believe this. God, there's this test, but he doesn't get the kid right away. And now temptation rings. Someone's bringing temptation. What do I do? God's not acting fast enough. What am I doing? Now I'm in temptation. God's not working fast enough. I'll have sex with somebody else. I'll make the kid on my own. Failed the test. God didn't tempt him with Hagar. He was also tempted when God told him to sacrifice his son. The son that was the son of promise that God eventually gave him. God said, I want you to sacrifice your son. And hopefully we all know the story. God saves him from that, but he was actually obedient. And he passed this test. He trusted God, and God delivered him from that. Moses and the Israelites, they're brought through the wilderness, right? Freed from Egypt, right? They're kind of running, getting out, and then Egypt's behind them, and there's this sea that's the color red in front of them. Moses says this, fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, that he will work for you today. The Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be silent. Shh. You think they were silent? Talk about a test. They were probably tempted to run, probably tempted to fight, probably tempted to go back to Egypt, to submit, just don't hurt me. God made a way through the Red Sea. He also tested them. The devil tempted them. He tested them with the manna. Remember this? We actually talked about this 2 weeks ago, the bread from heaven. God said, I'm going to give you this bread and it's going to test you. Exodus 16:4, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. God was testing them. Are you going to believe me? Are you going to obey me? Many of them did. Some of them didn't. In verse 20, but they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. They failed the test. They were tempted to not trust God. I don't see where the food's coming from tomorrow. I'm going to grab more today. I don't see how this is going to fill my belly. I'm going to grab more today. And the temptation took over. And they failed. And God tells them, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So God was testing them in the situation to see whether they were obedient. God uses times of testing, times of trials to grow us, to teach us, to check out whether we're solid or not. You ever do that with your kids? Oh yeah, I'll leave the brownies out on the counter. I told them to have one. Let's see how many they take. Right? I'll leave my car home when we're on vacation, the keys on the counter. Tell them no. I'll tell them no partying. Give them ample time. Can you remember a test that turned into a temptation? When's the last time you failed a test? Don't answer, because me first, me bigger, right? But God, so Jesus knows what he's doing, right? Temptations are going to come. Most of us have had them already today. I have. You don't want to know what they are. We share in that. We're all fallen. The disciples were tested. Before God fed the 5,000, he actually asked Philip, what all these people, where are we going to get enough food to feed them? And the Bible says he said this to test him, even though he knew what he was going to do. That's like God's putting us in a situation and going, what you going to do about this, John? When God knows exactly what he's going to do, he's just kind of seeing what we're going to do. I'm gonna do that. Our life is full of these times. It's been written long ago that the Christian is in a continual and relentless battle all the time. From birth to death, that we will always be in times of testing. 1 Peter 6:7, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. These trials, they're made to give us strength. In fact, James, many of you have read this, but he says, count your trials joy. You ever heard that? When someone says, we're supposed to count our trials joy. How is that possible? No one likes trials. In fact, if I was given the option, Brandon, would you like any more testing or trials for the rest of your life? I would say, that'll be a no for me and for all my friends. Or give all mine to them, right? I'll just skate. But James follows it by says this, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Wait a minute, so God does this for a reason. He brings us into places. He allows us to be brought to places. He allows other things to be brought to us. He allowed Job to be tested and tempted. He allowed it to go, but it was the devil who tempted it. Catch yourself. When someone says, God's tempting me, God doesn't tempt you. It's the devil. Now, God allows it. But God gives us a way out. God is rad. James 1:12, a few verses later, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." And I think he's talking about our tests here and now and our tests in life, whether we will stand strong with the Lord. And it's almost, and check this out, it's like tests or temptations. It's like, again, depending on what the situation is. One's the situation, one's what comes in it. Depends on who gives it. And if we're not keen enough to know where it's coming from, we're in trouble. How do we get keen enough? Spend time in the Bible. You want to know God? Right here. I could teach you all day long. You'll learn more through this. You'll listen to every Christian's radio station you want for the rest of your life. You'll learn more with this. You want to know God? How he deals with people? How the enemy works? Right here. I mean, you can read mine if you want, but hopefully you have your own. If you need one, we'll give away one. But open your book. If you don't like to open it, find one that you do. I cannot tell you how many people, I say this in love, "I don't understand my Bible." Then get one that you can understand. And if you can't, come talk to us. We will help you find one because they make them in all kinds of translations. I even tell people, buy one that you like the cover, that you like the feel, so that you hold it around and you like it and you open it. And you know that in Romans 8, it talks about God praying for us. It's in the upper right hand. I can picture it when I say it. I know where Romans 7 is when Paul's talking about the weird stuff. And I know where that is. Jesus being tempted, it's up here. God's word is where we learn. But temptations are going to come, and God's word tells us that. Temptations are everywhere. In the movies, in the TV shows. In fact, it's almost as if movies and TV shows put temptation in there to make it sell. Our society is obsessed with sex. Everywhere. All over the place. I can say that as a man. I can say that as a human. And the kids are getting bombarded with it. It's in all the songs, it's in the TV ads, it's in TV shows, and it's gotten worse. I sound like an old man when I say that, but it's true. But here's the weird part about it. Sin and temptation evolves. Let me tell you why. There's this thing called there's a thing called the hatch. Fly fishers are all over it. Fish eat bugs. They eat bugs in a nymph state, and that's when they're underwater, right? Bugs are flying around or swimming around, and then later on they hatch. And what effective fly fishermen do is they study the waters, and they look at the bugs that are on the sticks and that are on the rocks, and they go, oh, this is what that fly wants at 10 a.m. I went fly fishing with a buddy. I may have told you this, but I'm going to say it again because it's an awesome illustration. We went fly fishing up in Bishop. We had a guide, and we were fishing in the Owens River, standing in the river, you know, we're doing this very quietly, right? The night before, this is amazing, the night before, no bite. It was my buddy and I, no guide, no bite. The next day, he took us to the spot of the river, we're fishing, I throw it where he tells me to throw it, I catch a fish, right? Whew, it was actually probably one of the ones you saw in the picture earlier. So we pull up, he goes, let me see the fish. So I hold the fish. He goes, okay, and he pulls out a turkey baster. You know what that is? But it's a small one. And he holds the fish, and he sticks that turkey baster all the way down the mouth of that fish. And he sucks the stomach contents of it. And he spits it out on his hand. He goes, oh, it ate this fly, it ate this fly, and it ate this fly. And then he pulls out of his pocket. He opens this thing, and it's got 1,000 flies in it. He made all of them. And he goes, put this fly on, put this fly on. We put that fly on, 16 fish. He knew what fly was going to get what fish at what time of the day and what part of the river. Satan is no different. Look at the fly if you have one, if you got one, look at it. He knows what's going to bait you. He knows that every day at noon, you're hungry, and he might throw this at you. You ever had the same temptation each night? You're like, what the heck? Like midnight or whatever it is, right before bed, I'm always thinking about this. Because Satan's a genius. Silly. And then when I watch TV, I think about this. And then when I go to the beach, I struggle with this. And then when I drive by that bar, I struggle with this. Go figure. Here's another thing. Fly fishermen, they watch where the fish stay because fish are interesting. They will put out the least amount of effort to get the most amount of return. So they sit in these little calm spots right where the current's coming through. And what the fishermen do is they take their fly line and they don't throw it right at the fish. And they don't either scream, fake fly, here's the temptation. No. They throw it upstream just a little bit. And it's called presenting the fly nice and soft. And the fly drifts down right, hopefully, in front of the fish. They move the line just so the line isn't seen. The fly comes down literally right in front of it. Boom, hook, line, sinker. That's what the enemy does to us, right? He's not like, hey, Brandon, you want to sin? Sure, I'll have 6 of those, please. Can you add a little temptation salt on the top and I'll be good to go? No, he's like, hey, what about this? Hey, what do you think about that? Oh, you're hungry? Let me give you that. Oh, you're alone? Let me throw some of this. I had a friend in high school. I'm not going to tell you what his deal was, but he had a whole different set of temptations, weaknesses than I did. He got thrown those temptations, and I didn't. And I got thrown different temptations that he didn't because they didn't work on him. Mine did. So I ate these flies, and he ate those. Like little dumb fish. Boop, 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 right? Give me the fly. That's probably why Jesus is saying, pray to the Lord. God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil because it's going to come. I need your help. And we know from Romans 7, Paul says, famous passage, we talk about it all the time. I do not do the things I want to do, but the things I don't want to do, I do. And when I don't want to do it, I do it. And when I want to do that over there, I can't do it. And then he says this, let this sink in your head. I find it to be a law, L-A-W, that when I want to do good, evil is right there. It's like gravity. When I jump in the air, I fall. When I shoot something out of a slingshot, it goes and it slows down. When I want to do good, evil is right there. That's a law in this land since the beginning. I have a fly that I used at Shaver Lake. I caught 20 fish on one fly. So when I got home, I retired it and I put it on a Shaver Lake patch and it's on our wall. But I wonder, how many of us have one enticement that we keep biting, biting, biting? I guarantee you the devil's not going to put it on a patch on the wall. He's going to keep throwing it out. He's going to keep throwing it out. And you're going to need help. So am I. Genesis. God's talking and says, if you do well, remember when Cain and Abel, they're having their thing? Cain and Abel, he says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. Picture that. The NASB says it in an interesting way. If you do well, will your face not be cheerful? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. The enemy is a lion, prowling around, seeking whom he may devour. Sin is at your door, and it wants you. You got to master it. The sin may look different for each of us. It may come from movies. It may come from money. It may come from possessions. It may come phones. It may come from sex, drugs, rock and roll. I don't know. Most of that stuff's fun at some level because the devil invented sin. And he wants it to be fun. If it was dumb, we'd be like, whatever. I don't want that. Instead, it tastes good. It's usually on sale. In fact, buy 2, get 1 free. He doesn't sleep. He is the tempter. Remember when we read in Matthew 4? The tempter came to Jesus. He's called the tempter. That's what he does. Second one. We're getting close to the end here. Just another couple hours. God, Jesus tells us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So pray that God would deliver you from evil. Ask God to deliver you from evil. Phenomenal verse that we need to know. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. He will also, man, it's so hard to stand right here and not move around. He will also provide a way of escape. The NLT, I think we have a slide for this, also says this. This is New Living Translation. Talk about another translation that might help you understand. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow you, he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. God will show you a way out. Man, how many times are we so focused on the fly that we don't see the rest of the river? We're so focused on the temptation. We're so focused on the anger. We're so focused on the problem. We're so focused on our frustration. We're so focused on our worry that we don't look out just beside it and see that God's going, I got you. I got you. And the funny thing is, most of the way outs are so arbitrary, we would never even thought of them. How many of us have been in situations and we're like, God just goes, oh, by the way, I'm going to do this for you. And you're like, what in the world? How'd you do that? But temptation, when it comes, who knows? Maybe God will rebuke the temptation right away. Maybe God and his ultimate authority will just gone. Temptation is gone. Like Satan, leave. Maybe he'll just distract your mind. Maybe he'll bring someone into your life. Someone will walk into the room. A commercial will come on. I don't know. Maybe he'll just change your heart. Maybe a Bible verse will come to mind. You ever been in a situation you're like this and you're thinking, and then a Bible verse comes to mind? Like, why in the world is that coming right now? Now I feel really weird about sinning. How do I sin when the Bible's... How do I... Maybe God's doing that. Certainly the devil ain't doing it. But what did the devil do? The devil even tempted Jesus with Scripture. You go back and read that passage. He actually used Scripture, but incorrectly. So know your Bible. Ask God to help you. We need God's help. It's very important that we stray from sin. It's very important that we don't sin. In fact, it's so important that God sent Jesus because we do sin. It's that important. It's that big of a deal. Because we're sinning, God sent Jesus. And then Jesus actually prayed, God, Father, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. Jesus prays for us that God would keep us from the devil. And he says, you pray it. That should be our regular prayer. The days we walk outside and we don't think the fact that we're in a battle, easy pickings. Easy pickings. You go out without a helmet, without a breastplate. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Resist. Fight it. It's hard when we like it. You have to make the plan before it happens. Remember when Jesus is in the garden and he asks his guys to pray? And then watch. And Jesus goes over here about a stone's throw away and he prays. He comes back and they're sleeping. He says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. I think we're willing a lot. Our flesh is weak. My flesh is weak. All week. So what do? Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. If I go on Brandon's understanding, yeah, you don't even want to know me then. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. God will rescue us. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. What is your perspective of God? What is your perception of God? What is your view of God when temptation comes? Is he the strong tower that you run to? Is it not a mystery that we hit trials and immediately go to our wallet? We go to our anger. We go to Google. We go to our phones. We go to our friends. How often do we go straight to Jesus? How often do we get calluses on our knees or blisters on our knees because instead of doing what we want to do and trust our own understanding, we go to God and we say, Lord, I'm stopping. I need you. Please lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. The band can come on up. As we're about to finish, I just want to say we will be tested. In fact, there's a really, really good quote for the testing and the temptation by Thomas Terence. Temptation to sin has been universal throughout human history. No one has ever been exempt from it or from the consequences of yielding to it. In the Bible, temptation is an enticement to act in disobedience to God's will. Its sources are the world, the flesh, and the devil. A test is a situation that God sends or allows in our life with the intention of revealing our loyalties, motivations, character, and commitment to Him, and helping to purify, strengthen, and mature us. If successfully passed, a test also glorifies God. Tests and temptations occur throughout our lives and are an important part of the process of maturing spiritually, which mean, in a sense, that it was part of God's plan that we would be tested. He doesn't tempt you, but He'll test you. We will be tested. We will be tempted. Will we resist the enemy? Will we flee from the enemy? Will we succumb to the enticement? Will we bite the lure? Will we eat the fly? Will we be victorious? Depends on it. Depends on if you trust God. I think the main point, I forgot to tell you guys that at the beginning. Jerry, you got the slide for that? We can't do it on our own. If we want to defeat the evil one, we need to have God's help. We can only be victorious with God's help. It's the only way it's going to win. Only way it's going to happen. But before the temptation comes, will you commit? I'm going to ask you this. Will you commit to praying? Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Will you commit to this prayer as we kind of recap and finish this Lord's Prayer? Will you commit to it? Jesus doesn't just tell us things, wow, so we read it on a Sunday and it really looks good on our resume. And we even take the notes home. Maybe we'll take the fly home. But if it does nothing, super for your mind. Will you commit to praying every day, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil? The whole prayer. It is my prayer that you will walk in that prayer. Talked about Jesus being tempted in the garden. We're about to have our communion time. And we take this often, every week. And it's easy for it to become just communion. Have you ever stopped to think about what Jesus may have been going through in this process? You know, He sweat drops of blood. Angels had to come and minister to Him. And then He was betrayed. And he sat on the cross, or hung on the cross, and others were hurling insults at Him, even though He had created those people. Can you imagine the temptation that was probably coming His way to yell back? I don't know for sure, but strike those people down. Make the pain go away. Tear three of their toes off so they can't dance anymore. Give them three heads so people reject them. I don't know, I'm just saying, Jesus faced it. He faced it for you, and He faced it for me. He went through the temptation, through the test. He was victorious in that on the cross. We celebrate this every week. The bread represents Jesus' body on the cross. The juice represents His blood that He was allowing to shed for us. I'm going to say a prayer. We'll end this, and then we'll end with a couple songs, but the tables will be open for you to take part. He went through that so you could be victorious over sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving us the ability to overcome sin because of Your power in our life. Lord, may You lead us not into temptation. May You deliver us from evil. And may we walk victorious in You. Thank You for Jesus, His sacrifice, our forgiveness from our sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.